In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've heard the cliche, the long and short of it. You know, you're explaining something and you want to use another cliche, cut to the chase and get to the most important part. And so you leave out all of those non-essential details and you say, well, the long and short of it is, there are a lot of details that we could focus on in this parable from St. Luke, chapter 18. Details like this David and Goliath relationship between a prominent local official and a poor, helpless widow. Two people on opposite ends of the social ladder. We could focus our attention exegetically on what our Lord meant when he refers to the judge as someone who neither feared God nor respected man. Or, as so many are inclined to do with this text, we could spend the next 5 minutes or so deliberating on the potential positive power of persistent prayer. But instead of making you feel guilty about your inconsistent prayer life, I've chosen to focus on what I believe to be the parable's main point of comparison. It is much easier for us to see the connection between ourselves and a poor, helpless widow than it is to understand the analogy between God and an unrighteous judge. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. Or, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. So you and me, as spiritually helpless as that widow, that part we get, or should get. But the part about comparing God to an unrighteous judge, what's up with that? But righteousness, or the lack of it, is not the point of comparison in this parable. It is that God and this earthly judge are both motivated by the very same thing, their reputations. If this human judge, well known for his insensitivity to others, if he eventually gives in because of this widow's persistence and upholds her claims, then how much more? How much more will God, whose reputation is that of mercy and compassion, how much more will God uphold the cause of his own beloved children? We need to hear that, don't we? Our world seems to be, to use still another cliche, going to hell in a handbasket. With a culture of death staring us in the face daily, and living in a society that consistently and constantly calls good evil and evil good, the people of God are reminded that our vindication, our liberation, is absolutely certain. And it's near. As near as our ears in the holy absolution, as near as our tongues as they receive the body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness. Now, at times, it will still appear as if God, at best, is slow in keeping his promises, and at worst, completely uninvolved in our day-to-day reality. But God has answered every critic and every skeptic by humbling himself, by taking on human flesh, and in the suffering and death and resurrection of his only begotten Son, demonstrating once and for all his undeserved but his unlimited love for each and every one of us. Critics, skeptics. So there you have it, the long and the short of it in this parable. The long-suffering God who vindicates quickly. And ever mindful of God's great compassion and his mercy for sinners, we continue to pray constantly and confidently. As Zechariah proclaimed, in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Persistent prayer, then, is evidence. Evidence of the church's faith in God's faithfulness. As she, the church, watches for the return of Jesus Christ. And so we watch and pray. Watch.